Recently at FallCon 2023, Mark Stegbauer and I had the opportunity to conduct a panel talking about collaboration and the idea of making comics on purpose. The following is a raw recording of the audio from that panel. It was impromptu, and I apologize in advance that some of it is much louder and clearer than other portions. If I'm able to get it fixed later on, that would be amazing. But for now, I just wanted to share it with you. I hope you get some value out of it. And to everyone who came to FallCon 2023, and especially to our panel, thank you very much. That was an awesome experience, and we look forward to doing it again soon. And now, enjoy the panel.
Well, look, are you dressed as the doctor?
I am.
Someone who constantly has companions?
Yeah.
Right? I think you're in the right conversation.
Oh, okay.
Right? Because if anybody knows about the value of collaborating, it's going to be the doctor. Right? Of course, you know, if you were really the doctor, you'd have a better hat on. But no judgment. No judgment.
No, it's fine.
Yeah.
And, they ate it up. She's just like, oh my god,
that's so cool. I don't know if you've ever worn a fez. Those things do not break.
No, they're a little warm. Aren't they made of wool? Something like that?
So we went into a deck fur, you know, some fun there. And
yeah.
Yes, warm.
Hey, you know, anytime my kid got.
Have you ever seen hello, everybody.
Have you ever seen the show Traveled with My Father?
I haven't.
With, I can't remember, was it Jackson? But
I am desperately behind on all TV shows due to my commitment to making comics. Which is not false. I tell myself I'm allowed to watch fun things when I get my work done. And then I don't get my work done, so then I'm not allowed to watch anything. So now I'm behind. So I should really turn in my geek card because there's so many cool things I haven't gotten to see. Well, I'm Anthony Harry.
And I'm Mark Stegbauer.
And we like to try to make comics. And I have the good fortune of collaborating with Mark on a lot of things, which is much to my benefit because I do pencil work, and then Mark will come in and ink it and make it look like I knew what I was doing the whole time, which is amazing. We've also started collaborating on actual developing and growing stories from scratch, which is very, very exciting, because if anybody here is aware of things like Kickstarter or crowdfunding in general, the gap between what you can create as an individual and what the audience or the market might be able to get to enjoy doesn't exist anymore. Like, you don't have to go through a store, you don't have to do any of that stuff. You just have to be willing to make it. But one of the easiest ways to make something is to do it with a team around you. Because trust me, if you try to do like I did, which is my first graphic novel, I did the whole thing. Well, Mark helped me with the cover. But if I did, I wrote and drew the whole thing. I hated that book by the time I was done with it because it was just took forever. But we want to talk about specifically, we were asked to do a panel and we thought it'd be cool to talk about collaboration. We have a very different breadth of experience. Mark has a lot more experience in the industry as a whole, where mine has been very skewed towards independent stuff. Just what can I, because I'm a little bit rebellious, I like to be mouthy and cause trouble, and so I like to know what I can do on my own. And then I realized, as we're talking about, that that's a terrible approach because it will wear you out. And then Mark stepped in and was like, I'll do this with you. I'll help you ink this cover. I'll help you do whatever. So I guess if you want, I'll shut up. Would you like to share your just experience of your approach towards creating in the industry?
So if you don't know who I am, I've been primarily an inker in the comics industry for about 30 years. Did a lot of stuff at Marvel and DC. I did Spider-Man, Nova, Flash, Justice League, Avengers, all sorts of stuff. Did some indie stuff at Image, worked for Moonstone, a bunch of other indie stuff. I do now a lot of my own creator-owned stuff, but I still will ink, you know, indie books every now and then, depending on if I like the person. If they say, hey, you want to ink my stuff? I'm like, okay, sure. You know? But yeah, but the whole collaboration thing, I've been part of it for 30 years, you know, because as getting in as an inker, you're collaborating with the penciler to make sure that, you know, what's getting on that printed page, you know, doesn't look like a steaming pile of crap. At least, you know, you try to. It doesn't always work, but, you know, most of the time, you know, you get that and that's what you get. But I think the thing with, also with, you know, learning how to collaborate you, especially, you know, as an inker, you come to realize pretty quick that, you know, what the penciler brings and what the inker brings, you know, together can be just absolute magic. I mean, if you think about it, in comics, when you think of, like, you know, people think of, like, collaborative teams. I mean, you can think of stuff like Marv Wolfman and George Perez on Teen Titans, you know, Chris Claremont with Byrne, Paul Smith, John Romita Jr., X-Men, you know, Denny O'Neill, Neil Adams, Green Arrow, Green Lantern, you know. You think of these teams, they just pop up, you know, these collaborations. And in a lot of cases, it's like, you know, those kind of started on, it's like, here's the writer, here's the penciler, you know. But then, eventually, after, you know, they start working together, it becomes a lot more enmeshed. It becomes a lot more of a collaborative effort. And, you know, and if you look at those two, I mean, especially if you look at, say, you know, like John Byrne's work with Chris Claremont on X-Men, absolutely loved to death. But I also love John Byrne's Fantastic Four by himself. But I think that the work he did with Claremont on X-Men is like, is absolute next level. I mean, Byrne stuff is like amazing on Fantastic Four, but that collaboration he did with Claremont on X-Men is still to this day, I mean, that is like the gold standard of collaboration. Same with looking at Denny O'Neill and Neil Adams' work on Green Arrow and Green Lantern, you know, in the early 70s. It's like, that's still, people still look back at that and go, that was like game-changing, you know. And it was just an incredible collaborative effort. And, you know, in the world of comics, like Anthony said about, you know, now with crowdfunding, you know, people, it's like, I don't have to put my comic through a distributor and into a comic store. I can go from my desk into your hands, you know, and a lot more creators are doing that by themselves. They're not, you know, collaborating. They might, you know, you might have a group, like, we're an artist and writer. Okay, I'm working with a colorist on this, or I'm also maybe working with a letterer. Some people aren't. I mean, they're just doing it all themselves. But that, you know, will vary from creator to creator, you know, but it's still, you know, they still recognize that, yeah, I need help on this stuff. You know, I need a good colorist to help make my book look amazing.
Yeah.
You know, or I need to make sure I have a really good letterer coming in to do, you know, all this, you know, to make sure my script gets, you know, done right and looks amazing and can tell the story I want to tell.
I think that point brings out the reality that collaboration is the unsung hero of almost any creative effort, but definitely comic books, right? The idea that, I'm sure if any of you were asked right now, you could name a creator, someone who makes a book or contributes to something, and you're like, I'm gonna buy that. I need that book because my guy or my lady's on it, right? But the only reason it's good is because of the team. Like, I'm admittedly a huge Jim Lee fan. I think he's amazing. I got to meet him once, and I cried like a little baby because I was like, oh, he's my hero. But but Scott Williams, his inker, is what made him amazing. Like, by his own admission, you can find the interviews with Jim where he talks about, well, I was doing this and I was working with this anchor and I was doing this and I was working with this anchor at Marvel, and then they were going to move me over to do this, and that's when I met Scott. And Jim will start to talk about the fact that Scott Williams completely changed what he was able to accomplish on the page. And now Jim Lee runs DC Comics. So in a very small way, the writers and artists, other artists that worked with Jim on all the projects he did, might not get the name notoriety that someone like Jim Lee does, but they're the reason he's in the position he's in now, is because of they worked together and created something magical. And even like Mark just pointed out, you might have someone who's just a magical team all by themselves. They wrote the story, they drew the story, but then they're like, I don't want to print this in black and white. I want some color on this bad boy. So they got to go find a colorist, which colorists and letterers are undervalued, just for my personal argument. I think they should get a lot more praise than they do. But that person becomes a collaborator, because how many of you have looked at a book at one point and been like, God, this is a really great story, but why the fuck is it so purple? Like, this is a weird looking page. And it's like, the color choices are odd. And then at the same time, you can look at a book and be like, this is kind of a shallow story, but it is beautiful. Like, I could look at this book all day long and twice on the weekends. And it's because the colorists and the letterers finished everything up at a level that was not available without them. And that's what made me excited about having this sort of sharing perspective thing. I mean, I'd love to know if you have any questions, which I'll throw that out there in just a second. But if you have questions about collaboration or how to collaborate or how do you find someone, because maybe you're a person who wants to tell a story and that would be appealing. I want to know that. But I think that from a purely perspective standpoint, as guys who try to make cool stuff for people to enjoy, you just cannot devalue what somebody else is bringing to your project or what someone else brings to the art. And the point you made about how, yeah, this guy's work was great by itself. Like, there's nothing taking away from the fact that, like, Doug Mankey is a local artist in Minnesota, an amazing artist all by himself. And he recently did Swamp Thing, Green Hell. Then he did the line work on it completely by himself. Great book, beautiful storytelling, awesome. If you haven't seen it, check it out. It's great. Yet, he's currently working on stuff with an inker he's working with for a while named Jaime Mendoza, who they did like the Superman Wonder Woman stuff together a couple years ago, but they have a new Batman book coming out. When that book comes out, if you compare it to Green Hell, without question, the book with Jaime looks better. And that's not a rip on Doug, right? It is the fact that their combined skills bring that artwork to a level that Doug doesn't get to all by himself. And Jaime doesn't get to without Doug, right? It's just awesome. And the media around comics, the media around any entertainment venue likes to pick a hero. Oh, it's a Spielberg movie. Or you gotta go see it because The Rock's in it, right? Like, yeah, maybe. I wanna go see a Helen Mirren movie more than The Rock because she's amazing. But the reality is they're only as good as the people around them. And that's the fun thing. It's like eating a delicious meal. Like, yeah, I showed up for the steak, but man, those potatoes were awesome, right? And that's just part of the whole thing. Who in the room likes to tell stories or make comics? Anybody? You look familiar, by the way. And I was like, he's gonna raise his hand. Do you like it? Can I ask you, like, what do you like to do?
I make really silly, comedy stories. I actually went to school for comics.
Nice.
University of Wisconsin Stout, they have a comics major. So
I didn't know that. You're awesome. From Wisconsin.
Yeah. I didn't know that.
Yeah.
It's in the studio art one. So cool. It's not entertainment design.
Nice. So really comedy, and you're like professionally trained.
Yeah.
That's excellent. Did you have your hand up too?
A little bit, yeah. Like me and this guy just kind of did some.
You and the doctor?
Yeah.
Oh man.
We did just some dumb little, high school comics and.
That's awesome.
High school just.
But the thing is, though, you're telling stories. I mean, I here's the thing. Everyone, I've been doing this like forever and a day. I always, whenever I go to shows. For me, I always at least get one person, usually younger, younger kid coming up saying, how do I get into comics? And it's like, just make it.
Just make it.
It's like make a comic, congrats, you're in. it's like the easiest job in the world to get into. You just make something. And that's what I think the beauty of like the Falcon Spring shows have been. I've been coming now. This will be my 32nd year coming to this show. That's a long time. That's a really long time. That's more awesome. Than half my life I've been coming to this show. And the thing that I've always loved about this show is that you can be the person drawing Superman, or you can be the person who's making mini comics in their basement 3 times a year, stapling it by hand, getting it done at Kinko's, assembling it the night before, staying up with your Red Bull just so you have something to take to that show, that weekend.
Yeah.
And everybody's welcome. There's no hierarchy. It's like, you get in because you create, you get in because you create, you get in.
It's a really nice way of Mark telling you, don't call your work stupid anymore.
Yeah.
Because, so there's that. And I've said this too before, it's like, well, I don't know if anyone would like my comics. It's like, well, why don't you make it? Well, I don't know if anybody's like it. It's like, you know, you could draw a comic. You know, you could create a comic about a talking dog whose mm-hmm. best friend is like a dill pickle who like does like magic.
Now, don't give There's away good
audience.
Ideas.
There is an audience out there for that.
Yeah.
It's just a matter of finding it.
Did one of you two raise your hand? Did I see that? You? Oh, what do you do?
Right now, I'm in college. I'm a creative writing and art major.
Well, okay. Are you also in college?
I'm planning to.
Good for you.
I'm trying to learn to pencil.
Okay. All right. That's awesome. We should all be friends. What do you do?
I made a comic. I wrote it last year, and it was based on something I used to make as a kid by myself.
Nice.
And I, like you, similar, was like, I don't want to draw this myself. There was a bunch of stuff with, like corn on the cob things and, like, hundreds of them. I was like, dude, I'll go crazy doing that.
Right.
Yeah. So I made a flyer, and my friend lived in the Schmidt Artist Lofts.
Oh, right on. Yep, yep.
So I just, like, had him put it up there, and somebody emailed me. So I did, and, like, collaborated, got it done. It's black and white. I like to do color. I just put it on X.
Yeah.
Not Twitter anymore.
Yeah, yeah.
And
we can rebel and still call it Twitter because
okay, yeah, yeah, it feels weird.
I'm not loyal to Elon. I don't care.
But he, I asked him if he'd be interested in doing a cover too, and he said yeah.
Yeah.
Man, it took him. I wrote it like over a year ago, and so 12 pages took him like how long? And I was like just happy to have someone to do it, so
yeah.
I didn't bug him at all.
Yeah.
And I think I paid him like. $25 a page or something. It wasn't anything too crazy.
Well,
so
kudos to you for paying them.
Yeah,
because
yeah.
That's a plus.
Well, because I've never met this guy in person. I don't even
right.
know what he looks like.
Yeah,
just only through.
But
like,
the thing is, that's
corresponding.
That's how stuff just starts.
Yeah, that's
yeah,
how it starts.
You know,
and
whether
when you're talking about like how do you meet them, like man, I'm DIYing it pretty hard.
Yeah.
And yeah, it took a long time, but I'm happy to get it done. But I have other stuff, other stories like ready to go. But it's
right.
Like,
so I tell you, this and this is what I love.
And also, I swear I know you from somewhere too.
I know you look familiar.
It's bugging me, but you probably get it too.
It's
oh,
the beard.
Every other
it's the beard.
Here?
Yeah, yeah, right.
Yeah, I didn't see you at the meeting.
It's like, look, I'm sorry. I'm wearing the male equivalent of a push-up bra. It just automatically makes me appealing to look at. You're welcome. Thank you, beard. Like, who cares? But sorry, what were you going to say, Mark?
But that's the one thing, amazing thing too, is with the fact that there's now so many comic shows you can go to in the country. I mean, before it was like, here's Chicago, here's San Diego, here's Dragon.
Yeah, you had to really travel.
You know, now it's like, oh, hey, my local library's doing a comic show. Oh, hey, you know, this comic
right.
store down the week is hosting a little thing at the VFW.
It's
hall.
Like every couple months there's
you
something
know?
Close by.
Yeah, and
yeah.
It's like, I tell you, and that's where, I mean, me doing like shows and little shows all over the place.
Yeah.
You know, meeting other creators and talking, it's like, hey, I really like this. Oh, that's really cool. Hey, we should do something. Yeah, we should, you know.
Yeah.
It's just a great place to meet other creatives who like the same stuff you do. And it's like, hey, you know, that's where those friendships start. And then all of a sudden it's like, hey, we should do something. Yeah, we
yeah.
should. You know, my buddy Russell LaSalle, he and I had known each other from conventions probably for at least 3 or 4 years on and off in Chicago at Wizard World. And then one was like, you know, we should do something. Yeah, we should. And we've ended up now doing like 5 or 6 little like one-shot comics together. And we do shows all the time. You know, he comes and hangs out on the weekends just to hang out, you know. And it's one of those things. And through him, I've met other creatives he knew. And we're all friends now, you know. And we collaborate on, you know, whatever. But it's like you just start making those connections.
Right.
You know, and, you know, now starting those new collaborations.
You make a good point, though, about the corn thing. In my first graphic novel, I wrote the script. Like, I'm a writer, and I wrote the script. And then I went back, and then I started, went put my penciling hat on, and I went to go draw it. And I got to a page, and I was like, I am an asshole. Like, why?
This is where
penciler why
Anthony
did I write?
Really hates writer Anthony.
Yes. And I was just like, ha.
He later admitted he didn't really read it in full, and he would have charged me.
Yeah, yeah. Well, now you know.
Yeah.
So there's that. So that's also a benefit of collaborating. If you write something, right, then it's their problem. Like you don't have to draw it, right? So that's a benefit. Share the workload, right? I think Mark makes a really good point too. One of the unsung benefits of collaborating is the fact that you're getting way more out of it than just a final product, right? You're probably going to get friendship, which, let's be honest, way more cool than a comic book to have a real friend, right? That's pretty awesome. And so, and you, not only is it just like, hey, we're friends, we're pals, we do cool stuff together. But I mean, look, if you're a creative person, there's an element to you that the normies don't understand, right? They don't know what it's like to need to do the thing. But if you have a collaborator, someone who gets why you need to plug in and do the thing, like, that's just a socially, emotionally healthy benefit to putting yourself out there and maybe letting go of the ego a little bit and saying, I want to collaborate with you. Not necessarily always hiring people, which is still good, and definitely pay your people if that's the arrangement you make. But but to truly collaborate with someone and have them bring their love and their joy and their energy to whatever it is you're trying to make and get that better final product in the end, your audience, people who are strangers, are going to look at it and they're going to feel it, man. They're going to know this is special because it isn't something that was just forced, right? Everyone who contributed wanted to be there. And I think it isn't going to happen every time. There are plenty of collaborative situations that are much like any other day job. You show up and you and Johnny got to figure that stuff out. Thank you very much. Don't ever talk to me again, Johnny. I'm done, you know, like that happens. But it's a real thing. So when you think of collaborating and when you think of the things that you want to make, whether it's your awesome story that you two are doing because it's not stupid, right? Or if it's you're in school and you're like, I'm thinking, I'm writing. Do I want to do 3 acts? Do I want to do 5? Do I want to do first person or third person? Like, how experimental do I want to be? I want to go full Disney, or am I trying to go like a weird film noir thing, right? Whatever it is, right? When you're trying to piece those things out and find the ingredients for what will be your delicious meal, what kind of questions do you guys have around collaboration? And I'm just checking my phone so I don't
lose track of time. One thing too I was going to point out too, yeah, is that what's amazing too about collaboration is that it might lead you to doing stories you didn't think you really wanted to do.
Yeah.
When me and Russell first started doing stuff, our first story was a zombie story called Survival. And he had written a couple zombie stories before, and I had been an illustrator on a book called The DIY Guide to Surviving the Zombie Apocalypse. And so we did the story called Survival, where pretty much it's a zombie apocalypse happens and this family has to take refuge inside of a Costco. So we did this 20 little page one shot, boom, done. And to this day, it's been our most popular book. We've sold out of it. We're going to be doing a second print 6 years later now, you know. And then the second story we did all of a sudden became this whole, or it was called Dinner at Dante's, where it's a story about a Cuban chef who sells his soul to the devil in order to become like the best chef in all of like United States.
That sounds spicy.
And it's like, I mean, this all of a sudden was like, and boom. And for me, it was like, okay, I could do this. I watch a lot of, you know, the Food Network, so I knew what an industrial kitchen looked like. Right. I could draw it. So yeah. I drew a damn industrial kitchen. The inside of a restaurant that features in the book is an actual restaurant that he had gone to when he used to live in Florida, and I'd actually been to, which is now no longer in business, but I was there visiting.
That's cool.
As part of working, so I was taking pictures, and that's the whole inside of the restaurant appeared then in the comic. Then we did like a third, our third book was like a nod to 70s disaster stories. It was a story, it's called Terra Firma, where it's the story of a space shuttle that's like a passenger shuttle that suddenly has a mid-air disaster, and the pilot has to like save them. And then our fourth book that we did is called Paper Chase, and was ended up being a almost a, like it was a rejected Superman story that originally Russell had pitched to DC when he was working on Batman Strikes as a writer. And it was pretty much like, what if like Clark Kent's, you know, arch nemesis at another paper finds out he's Superman? What does that reporter then do with that information?
I should read
that. And we did the story of that, but it's like, these are stories I never thought I'd be drawing, you know? And it's like, this is really cool, you know? But it's allowed me to go and draw all sorts of different stuff. I mean, I was drawing, you know, the inside of a passenger shuttle based on, I was like having to Google search for insides of commercial airplanes, you know? How do they look? It's like commercial kitchens, restaurants,
yeah,
you know, all sorts of stuff. The inside I had was looking at the photos of like newsrooms for newspapers, you know. And luckily, Russell was like, "Here's a hyperlink," and it was putting hyperlinks in script to like looks like this, looks like this. I'm like, awesome.
References.
That saves me a ton of having to search for it. But it was stuff like that. It was just like
I'm right there with you. My default is like sword and sorcery fantasy stuff. Like I want to draw Conan any day of the week. Not saying I'm good at it. I'm saying I want to draw Conan. But the thing I'm currently being hired to do is a book about kittens. And I don't actually, as a rule, want to draw cute things. But for some reason, this lady was like, "No, I really like your work, and I'd really like you to draw this book about this kitten detective agency." And I'm like, "I'm going to do that shit. Like, let's do it."
That's my friend Amber, by the way.
And it's awesome. And I only agreed to do it because Amber is amazing. And I was like, "Yep. Whatever you want, let's do it." And now I'm like, "God, I'm really good at drawing cats. This sucks." Like, not sucks as in like a bad thing, but just like I have to admit now that I was wrong the whole time. And then like Gordon Schmuder has been telling me for over a decade, "Anthony, every time I draw something cute," he's like, "Anthony, you should just draw cute things. You're really good at drawing cute things." I'm like, "Shut up, Gordon." And now next time when that book comes out, I'm going to have to eat crow with my buddy and be like, "You're right. Here, have a book." But anyways, what kind of...
Can I sign that to you? Okay.
Yeah. This is dedicated to Gordon. Asshole. Like,
EOS. Best wishes.
That's right. Who has questions around collaboration, how to approach, whatever. Anything you might want to know. I'm comfortable with whatever.
What do you do if you have like different... like opinions of where a story wants to go or how to approach a certain like
yeah well step one is tell the doctor you're bigger. Oh, yeah. I'm joking in that type of thing when you're developing something together, it's best to have that conversation up front. How are we going to handle a disagreement, right?
Okay.
And just put it in writing. That's not, so many people, especially maybe it's a Midwest thing, so many people view that as some sort of an insult. Like, "Wait, you don't trust me?" No. I just know myself. And so I want to respect you. And so I want to put it all in writing. So when there is a contention, we'll just go back to what we agreed on.
Okay.
What did we agree on? We agreed that, you know, every first disagreement you get to pick and then I get the second one and we'll just go from there, right? Or we find someone who clearly looks like a reasonable, educated person to vote as the deciding vote. Like, "I don't want to go this way. I want to go this way."
Who has a cheese purse? And,
right.
Know, it's like,
and then...
It's not, though. It's Hufflepuff.
Oh, see? Even better. Even better. Obviously a reasonable person to go to for questions.
It's just a Wisconsin thing. I see something orange with a little dent on it.
Yeah, it's cheese.
I can't help it.
It's a condition. We're trying to get him help, but whatever. He won't sit still. He keeps going to shows, talking to people, eating cheese. You'll be okay.
It's the last thing I have, man.
But that's what I would do, is right up front, saying, "Okay, look, we're going to do this. There will be a point we don't agree. But I respect you, I care about our relationship, so let's protect that first. Because obviously that's more important than any damn story, right?" And then just, and have an arbitrator. Have someone who is a non-invested person that you can go to and say, "Okay, we're not agreeing right now. Want to run by you?" Like, and the other key is let's say it is you two, just as an example, okay, I'm not picking on you. When you go to this awesome person and you say, "Hey, we need you to pick between these two options," present the other person's option. Because
okay.
That shows you respect what he brought to the table. It shows that you understand what he's trying to bring to the table, or whoever your collaborator is, right? And you bring it to the neutral party. And you're presenting, you're trying to sell the thing you don't want. "Here's what we're going to do. We're going to do this and this and this." Not only may that help you actually recognize it's a damn good idea, also it protects that arbitrator, right? Then they're not picking favorites. Because now, and they don't need to know. You don't say, "Oh, I'm presenting his idea." Don't say that. Just present the idea. Say, "Which one sounds best from a story? Which serves the story better?" And then go from there.
Cool.
But yeah, put everything in writing. Like, just out of respect for yourself and for whoever you're working with, try to, as best as you can, respect the relationship first so that you can just enjoy creating together as you go through the process.
And another good thing, too, I mean, I'm lucky enough on a lot of stuff. Another collaborator I work with, Steve Bryant, on our book, Ghoul Scouts. We have an amazing editor named Chris Murn, and Chris edits Ghoul Scouts. He edits Steve's books, Athena Voltaire.
Editors are helpful.
But he's like, he's that person that can look at everything that gets brought in and then go, hey, here's what's going to serve the story best. Or if you guys do this, what's it going to lead to? Mm-hmm. Okay, if your idea is this, where's it going to go? Your idea is this, where's it going to go?
Yeah.
And are you furthering your end goal of the story?
Okay.
And it's always, there are people out there who you can hire who are comic book editors. You can be like, hey, can you just look at this? Or you might know somebody who's like, who does editing.
Mm-hmm.
Or you're just like, oh, yeah, I've dabbled in. It's like, I kind of know what I'm doing. And, just have a third person take a look at it and but ask you questions is, with the ideas, if you're, butting heads on an idea, just say, hey, where is this idea going to go,
yeah,
in furtherance of our main story?
And it's really the service of the story thing. I admittedly stole it from a Pixar documentary because they were talking about one of the rules at Pixar is everything has to be in service to the story. If it's not in service to the story, Pixar just cuts it. It doesn't stay on the table at all. Pixar didn't create that. There's interviews with Stephen King, with who's the other guy? Elmore Leonard. Where they talk about the fact that you write in service to the story. So you could be writing a fun comedy, just a very playful story. You can be writing a very serious thing about corn. It doesn't anything in between. As long as what you're doing is in service to your story, that's likely the right choice. If there is a right choice in a creative spectrum, that's the one you want to make. Anyone else have any questions? You look like you do, but I won't pick on you. What were you going
to
say?
Just like if you're on the outside of the industry and trying to find a collaborator, what mm-hmm. would be like a good resource?
Well, you mentioned comic conventions is a great way
comic
to do it.
Comic conventions is great. I mean, Instagram is full of like awesome creators, artists, and everybody out there.
Yeah.
Right now, the new one, Blue Sky, social media.
That's growing.
It's growing like crazy. And even Twitter has still people who are on there.
You primarily operating as a writer?
Yeah, I mean, it's not like a career or anything.
No,
right
no, but that's
but
fine.
Yeah, I have a couple other like scripts.
Yeah. So social media is a huge tool. I think we all know that in the general, way the world is set up now, because we can't get away from it. Everything's on social media. But if you want to grow in a creative space, pick whatever platform you're most comfortable with and make that part of your presentation, right? I'm going to be working on growing myself on TikTok, because TikTok has this wonderful thing called BookTok, which I'm like, I need in on that shit, because that sounds awesome. But the whole thing is like, yeah, sure, you want to post something where you're like, I did this cool thing and you should be jealous of me? Go ahead and post that. But also post about the things you're trying to accomplish. Like, Mark and I post on social media and we post about our art. We're like, I'm doing this thing. Mark's doing these fantastic charity things where he's like, hey, I'm going to draw these things in a month and you can buy them. And then I'm going to give that money to a charity, to benefit other people. And then that gets all this traction and he sells out and the whole thing. And so his whole brand, his whole presence is that. But then the reason that would benefit you is if you're doing that, if you're like, look, I'm writing, I'm creating a story. This is my space. This is what I'm doing. The algorithm's going to draw to you and put you in front of other people doing similar things. And that's where you are able to start networking through social media. And you start strategically following people and seeing, okay, like let's say you're going to follow me, which you don't have to. But if you were, you could look at my post and then be like, you know what, that's an interesting topic. And then you comment on it and say you engage the post, right? Not asking for anything, just engaging the topic. Like, oh, that's really cool. How do you approach this? Or da, 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 da. And then that starts creating conversation. You'll organically then find yourself in front of or being exposed to people you might want to collaborate with. Like, the more that I'm better about making sure that what I add to the social media spectrum is in line with the area of social media I want to be a part of, the more Facebook and Instagram and Twitter and TikTok starts showing me those things. And now all of a sudden I'm like, dude, I didn't even know this person existed. Or I see an artist that makes me want to cry because they're super, super good. And I'm like, I'm never going to be that good. But it only happens because you put yourself in that space.
Works the same way when you're at home and you're talking about something to someone who's like, oh yeah, it's like a friend of mine, they got this coffee maker and they really like it because you were talking about coffee. And 30 seconds later in your Facebook feed or whatever,
so you want to buy a coffee maker?
Pot is right there.
Yeah.
And it's like,
because your phone's always listening. Yeah.
Ram trucks.
But that's your biggest thing, is it's just understand that as long as you're not going to someone saying, hi stranger, will you give me money? Or your time or some other resource that I can't possibly get back to you. And instead you're going to them saying, hey, your post added value to my day and I'd just like to talk to you about it more. Then you're gonna network and you're gonna end up meeting like a lot of people.
And the nice thing is too, and I've been fortunate with the pieces of the things I do with Russell. I mean, it's like we're coming to this on total 100% partnership. You know, he's writing it, I'm drawing it. I'm not getting a page rate, he's not getting a page rate. But what we're doing is that we're taking our comic, we're going and getting it printed locally at like a Minuteman printer, and it's like, okay, how many copies you want for shows? Okay, I want this many. Okay, how many copies you want? Okay, I want this many. Fine, okay, here we go, here's how much it's gonna cost. We each pay our portion, and then we now have a product to take to whatever shows we wanna do. If we're sitting next to each other at a show, it's like, you know, a lot of times, especially since we've done so many now, he's like, okay, I've got copies of this book. Do you have any? No, I don't. Okay, I'll bring these. It's like, okay, well, good, because I've got copies of these that you don't. I'll bring these.
Yeah.
So therefore, then we're selling, you know, what we're selling, we're keeping the money on, but then we can each then sign the other's books. It's like, I have these two books we did. Russell will sign them here for you for free. He's got the books that, you know, I drew. I'll sign them for free. Mm-hmm. But then we each can, you know, we can still keep selling the stuff we've done and, you know, each get our collective, you know, monies from it.
So in line with that, if any of you follow comic book news, New York Comic Con just happened, right? And out of New York Comic Con came an announcement of two imprints that, this is, by the way, is an example of why collaboration is so valuable. That two imprints are now exclusively signed with Image Comics, right? The third largest publisher in the United States. And it's a creator-owned publishing company, whatever. But these two imprints are a collection of creators that all just said, you know what? We're going to work together. We're going to be a team. And we're going to make some cool stuff. And then we're all going to benefit from whatever happens. And some of us might look at that and think, oh, man, I wish I was Jeff Johns and, like, these cool cats who have had this wonderful career at DC Comics so they can afford to go out and do their little imprint and sign up with Image. And to an extent, there's some merit to that perspective. The reality, though, is they just chose to show up, right? They chose to say, hey, you want to make something together? Because there's a way we could do it. If we set our ego to the side and we each contribute towards the final product, and then we each, like Mark just said, we each benefit then from the sale of that product, whether shared or individual. Some of us will never even want to pay our mortgage on comic books. That's fine. Most of us will never be able to pay our mortgage on comic books because that's the current status of how the industry works. But I know, like for me, I just enjoy the fact that I never lose money making comic books. And that's because you can be smart about it, you can work with the right people, you can invest yourself wisely, and you focus on making something that other people might enjoy, then you can go to a show like this and make a profit, which helps inform your ability to continue to make comic books. So I just think it's cool that those two imprints exist now, Ghost Machine and whatever Giant Creator, which is Rick Remender's thing, which is like a couple writers, a handful of artists, and they all just are like, look, let's go all in together. And I'm going to tell you right now, I'm probably going to buy all their books because they're all creators that I admire and think they make great stuff. But it also left me walking away going, I want to find five other people to be badasses like me and Mark and team up and put out some stuff. And because it's all motivation through momentum. Like you do it, you get moving. that movement then shows you what you can do, then you do, you're able to do more because you're just, it burns, right? It stokes the fire. The fire doesn't get big when you leave it alone. You got to be on that. And then that's how you get something you can make results with.
One nice thing too about with collaboration, it also allows you to tap into each other's audience and fan base. I mean, Russell had his fan base because he was the writer of Strawberry Shortcake, and then he did Batman Strikes. So he had two very distinct groups of fans. And then once he and I started doing stuff, those fans were like, oh, you're working with Russell. Cool, we're going to follow you now and buy your stuff. And then fans were, you know, fans of mine, of my art and doing stuff, were like, oh, it's like, who's this? Oh, this is my friend Russell. He's writing this. Oh, we're going to follow him, you know, and get his, and get all the stuff, the other stuff he does that he's not doing with you. Yeah. And it just keeps helping to grow
right.
that base of people who are going to come and want to buy your stuff because they're like, hey, I really dug what you did with Russell, and I really want to check this out, what you're doing here with this guy now, maybe.
Yeah.
And then that other collaborator you might be working with, like some, maybe you're a writer and you have another artist you're working with. You know, it's like, or vice versa. You know, it's also, hey, you know, your fans are like, hey, I want to go check out and see what this guy's doing. You know, and it just, you're just expanding out, you know, to new groups of people who want to be interested in your stuff and also are just getting into other comics and growing comics as a whole.
Yeah.
Because without, and that's the one thing, I mean, I've seen some crazy stuff in the last 30 years. I mean, I saw a market where, you know, people were buying a house because of a royalty check from one issue of a comic that they were part of, to watching, like, you know, an industry collapse upon itself like that. You know?
Yeah, and some of those same people having to file bankruptcy because of how crazy it got.
Yeah. And it's just, you know, and seeing, you know, what needs to be done is the fact that, you know, it's, you have to be, continue to be able to grow, you know, this industry as, you know, because without it, it's just gonna, you know, if you can't keep growing comics as a, you know, an art medium, you know, and beyond the movies, you know, out there, because I can tell you right now, those, the movies have not translated into sales. If you know, the MCU translated into like comic book sales, you know,
we'd all be working for Marvel.
Yeah, Marvel would just be like,
they wouldn't have enough. They wouldn't.
I mean, Disney would be like, well, we don't need to do anything. Marvel's just making all the money. We don't have to do a damn thing. But, you know, as far as publishing, it's like, but it's not, you know. And it's because of that, comics still needs to grow. You still have to, you know, bring in new, you know, new readers, you know, and new creators, you know, to make sure it grows. You have to make sure that, you know, there is a diverse group of creators and content. I hate using the word content, but, you know, projects out yeah. there that
stories.
anybody who wants to come in, who wants to say, find, you know, I want to pick up a comic book, but I want it to be about this because I really feel passionate about this. You know, be the creator that fills that for them.
Yeah.
You know,
the other thing that I want to add before we completely run out of time is the type of collaboration we don't talk a lot about, but I know Mark and I can attest to, is the people around you who aren't even directly contributing to making your book. Like in our case, we have very, very supportive spouses who understand that this madness is not going away, right? And they love us because of it, not in spite of it, right? So if you're, like, as you're finishing school and you're pursuing what you want to do, or as you work on being a penciler, right, and you're in that growth stage, that a lot of times is going to directly conflict with relationships that already exist. That's okay. Just be settled on what it is you truly need and want as a creative person, and understand that those people who stick by you, that look at you and they're like, hey, what have you been working on? Like, I want to see it. Like, I give a shit. I want this to be awesome. And they might never draw anything, write anything, or do whatever. They might just have a cool Hufflepuff bag, right? But those people help us be who we need to be. And that's a special kind of collaboration that I don't think gets acknowledged near enough. So we have like 2 minutes left. Any other questions? There's no bad question.
if you did do a collaboration with somebody,
yeah,
and you wanted it done in a certain time frame,
yes,
could you put a date in that contract that you
signed? Should. You should do it for yourself first. Deadlines are your friend at the end of the day.
I mean,
like,
I think so.
They're a pain in the ass, but they're your friend, because even if you blow the deadline, at least you had a goal, right? You should always be aiming for something, right? So as much as you, like, when you're talking about just putting plans in writing, even if it's just you for yourself, having that there to know this is the map, this is our journey, that's only going to help you. There's literally no downside to clarifying those expectations and goals up front, period. And anybody who you are collaborating with or considering to collaborate with and they struggle with that, that's a really good indicator that maybe they don't deserve to collaborate with you. And I want everybody to create and have that freedom. I want to hear voices from all kinds of people. It shouldn't be silly white dudes that make all the comics. It just shouldn't, right? But the reality is that some people have no business being in this arena because they're not bringing value to it, right? And if they're not going to respect you and the time that you're bringing to the project, find someone who will, right? It's your show, just like it's their show, right? So that's, it goes the other way too. If someone wants to work with you and they're asking you to say, hey, can you make this consideration for me? And you can't, own the fact that that's your limitation. That's not their shortcoming for needing you to meet them halfway, because they respected you enough to talk about it, right? If we, and there might be times we can't meet that collaboration, we can't meet that deadline, we can't, maybe we can't do it without getting paid something up front, that's okay, right? There's no shame in that. But just understand that when those things exist, that's you. It's whomever needs the thing. It's not the other person's fault. So a lot of it's respect and communication.
Communication is key.
Yeah. So, any other questions? We're really easy to find on social media. You have, obviously, our names in the flyer thing for the show. If you go to, for myself, for example, you can literally go to anthonyharry.com, and that's my very, very outdated website, but it has links to all the socials, so you can do that. And if you find me, you'll find Mark. So that's easy. Or you can look up Mark, and if you find Mark,
the only Mark Stegbauer drawn comics, thank God.
Yeah. Yeah. It's a unique name. So you look them up, you'll find them. But my point in bringing that up isn't to try and get social media followers. My point in bringing that up is if you ever have a question or if you're confronted with something and you're like, hey, Anthony, I'm thinking of doing this really ambitious thing. What do you think? You are all invited to just reach out and be like, I want to run this by you. Because I'd rather know that this conversation results in helping you achieve the success you want than anything else. So for Mark and myself, I want to thank you for actually being here. This is really fucking cool. Like, truly, truly cool. And I've enjoyed this opportunity to talk with you. So by all means, keep in touch. If you want to do the following thing, do that. We'll follow back. Like, that's all good. But I hope you got something out of this, and I really appreciate you being here. Especially you with your bag.
And the Ms. Marvel shirt. So.
Oh, sorry. I failed. It's definitely the Marvel shirt. So good job. But thanks, guys.
Yes, thank you so much for coming out, guys. All right.